If not, let's begin our service in prayer. Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful we can be here today. And Father, we're grateful for your Son and what it means for us that we can have a hope of living with you after we leave this life. Father, we're grateful for all the mothers. Father, we pray that you'll be with them. Father, we pray that they'll have a blessed day. Father, we continue to pray for this country. Father, we pray for peace. Father, we just pray that that the leaders will look for your wisdom and not their own. Father, we pray for the men and women that are protecting our country. Father, we pray that you be with them and keep them out of harm's way. Father, it's from day to day, sometimes we do fall short. Father, we pray that you forgive us when we do. Pray that you'll continue to bless each and every person here. Father, as we leave here today, Father, we pray for your hand of protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to look at and see a larger crowd today.
Yes.
Good to see everyone. Let's open our song books to number 114. 114. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean.
Way down in Egypt.
steps of Jesus before us lead. We tread life's journey, His warnings heed. Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail. Hilltops of glory I now see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 51:5-1.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaf beside the sea. Within the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, to me. As thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall abundance cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all.
To put our minds in perspective, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather around this table to remember your Son. For the love that you had for us and you sent him into the world to die for us. On a cruel cross that Father, he died there for our sins. As we look back to the cross, Father, help us to partake of this loaf which represents his body in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Fill his house while to that sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. It's a wonderful thing for us to have this particular day to center our minds by the way of the whole world on a Mother's Day. And to have the emphasis given in the Bible to a woman who taught her son very effectively. If you turn with me in the Bible to Proverbs chapter 31, you'll notice the first 10 verses of that chapter have reference to this particular young man. The words of King Lemuel. Lemuel is not known historically to exist. Just like Agur back in chapter 30 is hardly known to exist. But they were people that were taught the Word of God. And notice that in this matter, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Most of the time when you have reference to Proverbs 31, you have reference to verse 10 and following. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. It's a good passage. It's a wonderful passage to have. But at the same time, there is a great teaching given in the first 9 verses about a mother to Lemuel, the king, as to what he was to do in life, how he was to be in life. Wonderful are these things. Let's look at these particular things for a few minutes to this morning. The word prophecy is used here several times out of the Old Testament and New Testaments alike. The word prophesy or prophecy has reference to teaching 90% of the time. 10% of the time it have reference to predictions for the future. And if that prophecy is a prediction of the future, Deuteronomy has the words of the Lord to Moses that if it does not come to pass, it is not my word. If it comes to pass, then it is my word. And thus the people were able to know the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. Because the true prophet would be speaking the word of the Lord, predicting the future event to take place, versus someone who was not faithful to the Lord at all. And so what we have here is a word of his mother that she taught him, and as a result of that, that word was practiced by him, and thus we find a little bit later that information about the righteous and the virtuous woman. Look at what it said here. She said in verse 2, "What, my son, and what the sons of my womb, and what the sons of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. For it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgments of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of the heavy hearts. Let him drink, forget, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, for in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead with the cause of the poor and the needy. And then he begins, who can find a virtuous woman? And her manner of life is a manner of life that's practiced by these particular commandments that she gave to him out of the Word of God. What is my son? What is it? And she says, two things are major things in life. Do not give yourself over to strong drink. Don't be a drunkard in life. Don't be a person who finds himself in such a matter as to pervert the judgment if you're in the judgment seat of ruling over others. Don't find yourself being influenced by the wine and by the strong drink of others. Find yourself enjoying a relationship with God. He is a righteous God. He wants you to do right and good. And only those who find themselves at the point of death, give them that strong drink. They would find themselves perhaps in a dungeon, and they would find themselves condemned of government. They would find themselves having to await execution. Strong drink could be given to them, and what would happen to them? It would pervert the judgment of the afflicted. It would give them to perish. It would give them a heavy heart. That's the only ones to do this with. Do not otherwise become endangered by the use of wine or strong drink. The second thing that he notes here in this regard is the idea of give thy strength unto women, verse 3. The idea of whoremongering and the like of that would not be the way of life that he should follow. The way of life that he would follow would be of the Lord's way, and give your blessings to the Lord and follow his way. It is said there in verse number 9, open thy mouth and judge righteously. Plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Keep in mind, he was a king, Lemuel. He was taught how to live and how to behave toward others. People that came to his court were to be people who were recognized for either their being good or evil in life, having circumstances beyond their control, or having circumstances that they invented for themselves to practice. So it is said that in that regard, be a person of righteousness. Have we been people of righteousness today? Have we been taught by somebody? Honestly, we probably were taught by somebody from our youth to be a right standing person. My mom was that kind of person. She was that kind of person who trusted in God. She was one who noted me following words. Son, listen to what God has said to do and be what he said to be. Your dad and I do not always know what's the right thing to do. Your dad and I choose to go into a situation and we try to examine it and see if it is okay for us to do, if it's costly for us to do, if it's something that we should or should not do at this point in time in life. But she said, we have to go through all of that methodology. But God already knows about how things turn out. And God will teach you what he wants you to do. Consequently, I became a preacher of the gospel. I became a teacher of the things that God has revealed for us to practice in life. And do the kind of things that he's taught us that we should do. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The word virtuous is a word that deals with not only morality, but also deals with the mental abilities of an individual who thinks about the things being faced, thinks about the things to come, and wants to make judgments on the basis of good and godly thought. And thus it is a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. Rubies were used as a standard of payment in those days and time. It was a precious gem, and it was something that was valuable and something that could be utilized in a way that they would have the goods and services appropriate to the rubies that were there. She is very far above the price of rubies. I think we all men can realize that particular fact. A woman who finds herself in this way of life, of doing good things and godly things, her price is far above rubies. There's just nothing to compare with a good wife and a good person and a good helper in life that we have. What a wonderful thing it is. It says in verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The idea of going into battle and having conflict and victory that was there would take the spoil from that location, from that place. Maybe it would be in good water that would be. Maybe the pots and pans that we use to store the water. They would find themselves with spoil that they divided up after the conflict. And after the conflict, they found themselves enjoying that way of life. The heart of her husband is safe to trust in her. He has no need of any of these things. These things are already there and already available. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The idea of her way of life is a way of industrious way and a good way of life. And as a result, she does that sort of thing. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. The wool and flax are used a little bit later in this, in verse 19. She lays her hand to the spindle and her hands uphold the distaff. The distaff was used in a way in the which it was to round out that which was coming to it. It was round out the wool and the flax that were being used in that process. The spindle would be one that would stretch out, and it would strengthen out and lengthen that which was to be used. And thus the fact of the matter was that her heart of her husband trusted in her, and she would do him good, not evil. She seeks this wool and flax to work willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Some of this would be bearing fruit, whereas the shoot of itself might not be useful for that sort of thing. It would be so much they could use in the home and in the family and the fixing of clothes. This would be something that was helpful to them. And this is what he says of a woman. She is like the merchant ships that bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. The idea that she fasts for those people who were in need in the family, and those people who were growing in the family, and she was helpful in that way. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand she planted a vineyard. The idea that there would be some seed within that fruit that would be yet. And as a result, instead of eating all of it, the seeds included, there would be some of that which would be seeds that would be set aside in order to plant a vineyard that would manufacture not only the fruit once again, but also extra seeds that would go along the way. Our Lord Jesus talked about this particular matter when he talked about how that they would be people who would get themselves into fruit bearing, and how that they would utilize that fruit, and they would utilize it in such a way that they could save some seed so that they would have the harvest once again. If we eat up everything that's there, as Amos says in regard to the little calves in the stall, if we eat them, what is the reason for that? Where will come the next large bull or the large cow? Where will be the next one of meat to come? If we eat the small one in the barn. Think about those things and think about that ahead of time. And she is one who does. She considers a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She fixed up this way in life, in which she found a way to save that candle. You know, you can let a candle burn and burn and burn to a certain point in time where all of that candle is reduced down to just that which is on the table, on the chair. She doesn't let that happen. She finds herself looking at the candle that doesn't go out by night. She finds herself utilizing it in the depth of the night and the way that would be used and the way that it would not be used. She left her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She strengtheneth out her hands to the pool, stretcheth out her hands to the pool. Yet she reacheth forth her hands to the mighty. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. The idea of having something that was slick on the outside and warm to the skin on the inside. She provided for them so that they would not be in a chill and not be cold as the result of her work and labor. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. When she finds something, she utilizes it. She covers this, and the carpeting that she uses and the furnishing of her station in life was of such nature that this would be a wonderful way of visiting, a wonderful household to be in, a wonderful way to protect oneself during the cold and the rain of that day. She noted her husband does safely trust in her and noted that he is in the gates and known as he sits among the elders of the land. She was sure that he lives a lifestyle that is such of God that he is well known to serve the Lord in his way. She maketh a fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. As we live in life and we are minded by someone that God knows much more than we humans know, follow after what God has said. Follow after God's will and his way. In the book of 2 Peter in the New Testament of the Bible, and verses 20 through 22, we're told about those who began a service of the Lord, no doubt at their mother's bidding and hand, encouragement, but they fall away. It says in verse 20 of 2 Peter 2, verse 20, but if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What is the situation here? Here's a person who has found the pollutions of the world not worthy to be followed. I've escaped the pollutions of the world. The pollutions of the world are the things that he had mentioned earlier there in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. In the things that were wicked, the things that were wrong to practice, the things that were ungodly to practice. Turn back a few chapters earlier in Proverbs in chapter 23, and down at verse 28, in which it is said, woe unto him that finds himself looking at life, looking at circumstances, and what does he find? He finds his head sore. He finds his eyesight red with eyes. He finds himself that way. What does it come, how does it come about? He says it comes about by the drink of wine, the drink of liquor. Getting oneself in that way of life, he says, is not a righteous way of life. So this person here got back in the pollutions of the world once again. They left the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, and they began to be entangled once again. You see how that life and sinful ways are described in such a way as that, that they get entangled. They didn't intend for it to be that way. They didn't intend to be the slave of that. They got themselves entangled therein once again. and overcome. They had so much of what was entangling them, they were overcome by it. And thus they went back into that way that they began to leave in the earlier days. They began to do that. What if I have a mom and dad that leaves that way of life, and they practice this way of life with the Lord and His righteous way, and they urge the child not to live that way of life that I used to live. Don't follow that way of life, because what will happen? It'd be better for them to have never known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It's happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog that is turned again to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to a watering in the mire. The scripture here describes an individual who's gone back to the ways of the world once again. Would this man back there, as we read in Proverbs in chapter 31, would he go back to that way of life? Or would we today go back to that way of life and follow that kind of practice in life? Surely not. Surely we would be people who would honor not only one day, but every day of the year what our mothers have taught us. What she continued to live out in her life. What she continued to practice in her life and have the hope of the soul. Think about your relationship to the Lord today. This song of invitation is provided for you. If you never trusted the Lord and been obedient to His gospel, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to many afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are far off from that day and time, but we're called by the Lord and His word to obey that gospel and be a faithful person today. All things are ready for you if you choose to do that. To be baptized into Christ, you can do that today. If you have chosen to be that way of life and you follow that way of life, you'll have a blessing to come, because you will follow that way. As you did follow that particular way, 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that if you add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godly brotherly kindness and love, you will never fall. If you add these things to your life, you'll never fall. But if you have fallen away in that way and find yourself becoming entangled once again in the old ways of sin, it'd be a good time, as Simon did in Acts chapter 8, to say, pray to the Lord for me. And we will do that for you this very hour, this very day. Thank you for your attendance today and your study of this wonderful woman that is described here, who taught her king's son these principles by which to live and honor the cause of God and the cause of righteousness. You subject to Jesus' invitation, come to Him as we stand together and as we sing this song today.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come and be fed. Hear the invitation. Come, who? Whosoever will.
passage today. I trust that you'll go back to these passages, take a look at it again in Proverbs 23 and Proverbs 31 as well. And as a sign of the teaching of Simon Peter to the people of his day and time, how to pray faithfully to God in 2 Peter chapter 2. God bless you all. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6.
Let's turn to number 723. 723, that's the song that is probably worth it.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful Lord of life. Let the Lord of me see, wonderful Word of life. Words so freely given to me, teaching of
kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the time that we have today in this service. We're prayerful for Thy words to find room within our hearts and for us to practice that way of life that will cost us nothing in this world, but cost us everything of the world. And help us to do Thy will always. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.